Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for this program, Unleash Your Potential. You know, if you do a Google search looking up the meaning of potential, you'll find a generally accepted definition. It goes like this: latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success or usefulness. Now, Merriam-Webster Online says it's something that can develop or become actual. And I especially like this one from freedictionary.com. Having possibility, capability, or power. Now, interestingly, power, according to freedictionary.com, is the ability to or capacity to do something. So obviously, potential and power both have to do with capability. You have the power or capability to reach your potential. You have the potential or capability to reach your power, step into your power. So what is holding you back from reaching your potential and your power? Now, of course, there's a very good chance it's fear, because according to the experts, the three big emotional fears that all humans have in common, I mean, see if these are any of these ring true for you, is there are three of them: fear of being rejected or being unlovable, fear of being misunderstood, fear of betrayal, disrespect, injustice. Now, I know these fears get me too. The experts say that we're all hardwired for this. I mean, all of us are. We have this because of the sheer fact that as humans, we're social creatures and we live in a social structure. So fear. And these are the basic ones that are inherent to all of us. And then there are those ones that I covered in depth in a previous broadcast, Life is Too Short to Live an Die an Unlived Life. In that one, I talked about fear of failure, fear of success, fear of change. But I guess even at the core of those, they are the basic ones, right? Fear of being rejected, fear of being misunderstood, fear of injustice and betrayal. Anyway, even though fear is what holds most of us back, there could actually be a few other things that get in the way of unleashing your potential, other roadblocks that prevent you from stepping into who you really are and what you're capable of becoming and what you're capable of doing. And this is one of the major themes of my book, The Day You Find Out Why, Identifying Roadblocks and Overcoming Them. I have like two major chapters devoted to the topic. And I like to think of fears or these things that stand in our way as roadblocks, because when I picture a roadblock, I think of roadblocks that they can be removed. It makes me remember that I have power over my mind and I can be in charge of my life. Anyway, in the book, I cover what I've observed about roadblocks other than fear, and those are the things that I've seen, you know, a lot of during like two decades. I've been doing this work for almost 25 years. Of talking to people about achieving their dreams. And specifically, I have found that there are four major factors besides fear that come up pretty commonly. Number one is being convinced you don't have the right tools, knowledge, abilities, and so forth. And yes, I know, this one can certainly be related to fear, as in, I'm afraid I'm not smart enough, or I'm afraid to admit that I don't have what it takes. What will others think? This kind of fear-based thinking can certainly stop you in your tracks. Yet being convinced you don't have the right tools, knowledge, and ability does not necessarily mean you're stuck in fear mode. It doesn't mean that at all. I mean, it could simply mean that you're stuck in your mind. You haven't seen a way forward yet or recognized the possible resources that you have on hand. And when that happens, you get stuck. It's hard to think creatively. I know this for a fact because it's why I and so many other coaches and personal consultants can make a living doing what we do. My job often entails holding the space for possibilities with my clients. I'm objective when they're not, and so I'm not stuck like they are. I'm thinking up other possibilities to get moving again. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is being thwarted or sidetracked due to commitments we have to others or because of our personal and sudden life-changing circumstances. Now, this is true. This happens a lot, right? It's when the universe says, hold on a minute, here's something else you have to take care of first or instead of. And you want to unleash your potential. You want to step into the next big thing in your life that's calling you to do it. But you've got to deal with things like maybe your own or someone else's serious illness, the death of a loved one, big changes that happen to you, like losing a job or getting married, bringing a baby into the world, all those things that happen to steer you off course. It's normal. These things happen. But what can you do about it? Now, I have a great example, and it's something I talk about in the book, too, and it's about my sister. She's like my hero. I love my sister, and her story is just incredible. You know, she wanted to be a psychiatric nurse, but a series of health problems, and she has a neurological disorder, among other things, it changed her plans dramatically. And, yes, I get it. The universe does have a sense of irony, doesn't it? She wanted to be a nurse, and she's got health problems. But just because she can't work as a traditional nurse in the healthcare system, it doesn't mean she's given up on her dream to make a difference in helping people to heal emotionally and physically. It just means she has had to find another way. And in spite of her fine motor skills being really reduced, severely reduced by this illness, this disease, she's mastered the Native American flute. She composes songs. She performs live, even. Her music is soothing and healing. And you know something, her biggest contribution is how she has inspired many people with her ability to push through those major setbacks. One time she told me about a pastor who had invited her to a local church to come and speak to the congregation. And she was, of course, nervous wreck about it, but she went up there and just did it. And she was amazed at how much people just outpoured their appreciation afterward. And, you know, she's inspiring. And, of course, she was helping them to heal emotionally, even if it wasn't in the way she had originally planned. And as my sister would tell you, sometimes the universe just changes things on you entirely. And sometimes it's only temporary. But no matter which happens, permanently, temporarily, as long as you're in touch with the core of what drives you forward and you keep that in mind, you'll understand how to take those sharp turns that come up in your path. And that leads me to number three. One of the most common roadblocks to reaching potential is number three, lacking a clear, well-defined vision. And here's what I mean. Let's just say you were looking for a new job. Would you just get up one day and say, I want a new job? And just go start looking for one without thinking about what you want your new job to be like. You'd want to think about what makes you excited to get up and go to work every day. And you want to define that. Now, let's say you decide it's time to go get a new car. Wouldn't you start thinking about what kind you'd like, what color you'd like, what make, what price range you'd be in, and so forth? What about looking for a significant other? Do you say, I want someone special in my life, and without imagining what values you would share or what interests you would have in common with this person? The universe needs more details than new job, new car, and someone special to help you fulfill your requests. Without the details, sometimes the universe will respond and you'll get a job offer when you want one, but it will be a so-so kind of job, something that just helps you to pay the bills. Maybe the universe does fill your order to have someone special in your life, but sends you a person who also vaguely asks for someone special, in which case you might get someone who won't stick around for very long. In times like these, what's holding you back is a lack of a clear, well-defined vision. And, of course, this is tied to your power to choose because, make no mistake, even though it may seem like you're not choosing the stuff that happens to you, what you get in your life, you are. And the reason you make choices, which don't seem like choices at all to you, is because they're so unconsciously made. You feel as though life is happening to you. Instead of living your life with intention, you see life as something you're in. Or maybe you're only doing it with part-time intention, and it's moving you along somehow. That's how you're seeing it. It's happening to me instead of me happening to life. And then because of that, it looks like it's full of surprises. You look at them and you think some of these are good and some of these are not so good, and you feel sort of powerless, like you're on a life raft in the stream, drifting along in the mercy of the current. But this is about stepping into your power, right? It's about unleashing and reaching your potential, right? How can you do that without a clear vision of what it looks like for you? Now, later we'll talk about some specific things you can do to remedy this. So on to the fourth and final factor I want to talk about. What happens if you do have a clear vision? You know where you want to end up. You see it. You've got it worked out in your mind's eye about where you want to go. You know what you want to be. You know, you want this to be this empowered, self-sovereign being, fully enjoying your life. You can see it in your mind, but this is where the fourth factor might come in to trip you up and possibly hold you back if you're not careful. And number four, the fourth factor, is having a vision, but there's no action plan to get there. I love how Wallace D. Wattles frames this particular concept in his books, in one of his books, The Science of Getting Rich. He said, we have not yet reached the stage of development even supposing such a stage is possible, in which man can create directly from formless substance without nature's processes or the work of human hands. Man must not only think, but his personal action must supplement his thought. By thought, you can cause the gold in the hearts of the mountain to be impelled toward you, but it will not mine itself, refine itself, coin itself into double eagles, and come rolling along the roads seeking its way into your pocket. Whenever I read that passage, I have this image of, you know, gold doublets coming down the street, rolling gold coins, rolling down the street and jumping into someone's pocket. So basically what he's saying is you can have a great vision, but it won't mean a thing if you don't have an action plan to attain it, or at least take actions. And here's the example I use in my book. Let's say you have the thought, I would like to paint the bathroom a nice green color, like a sage green. You see it in your mind's eye. You can even imagine the new accents you'd put in the bathroom, like a dark green shower curtain and floor mat, you know, things to accent the pretty green walls that you're going to paint. So now you have a vision of what you'd like. However, since you can't afford to hire someone to do it, you're thinking you can do it yourself. And though you know how to paint, you don't know the first thing about removing the wallpaper. You never really like that wallpaper. It's really unattractive. You mention this to your friend, who tells you that she saw a series of good videos on the internet over on YouTube about how to remove the wallpaper pretty easily, and she says, just let me know if you want me to send you the link. Now, you have a vision and a vague idea of how you might learn to do it, but you really don't have a plan, and you don't move forward. And then some time passes. Let's say the holidays are approaching. You have family coming over to your house, and you think, wouldn't it be nice to paint the bathroom in time for their visit? But you get busy, and because you still don't have a plan to fit into your busy schedule this project, you don't move forward, and some more time passes. In fact, the holidays come and go, and the walls still have that unattractive wallpaper that you hate so much, and instead of becoming a reality, your vision is still just a vision in your mind. Now, at the end of the day, what are you planning to do to make your vision of what you want and who you want to become true? I mean, what exactly are you doing to make the most of yourself? One of my favorite quotes is by George Bernard Shaw, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1925, and he also wrote the very famous play Pygmalion, and which they later made into the movie My Fair Lady. He said, "The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, make them." Yes, indeed. I so agree with that. Now, let's take a short break, refresh ourselves a little bit, and let this information soak in. And when we come back, I'll have a few more insights to share with you. I mean, how do you really want to step into your personal power and unleash your potential? I'll give you some strategies that you can use to overcome roadblocks and, as Shaw says, make the circumstances you want. In the meantime, enjoy this music. I really like this piece by Kevin MacLeod. Welcome back. You're listening to Be Radiant Radio, and I've been enjoying talking with you about how to unleash your potential. So far, we've looked at definitions of potential and power, types of fears, and things other than fear that act as roadblocks on our journey to unleashing our potential. Next, I want to talk about creating new pathways for you to reach your potential and step into your personal power. And then I want to talk about some specific strategies that you can use to remove the roadblocks and stay focused. The first step to unleashing your potential, I think, is to imagine what is the outer limits. You know, what are the outer limits of your potential? What might that be? It requires you to stretch your mind and your imagination. Have you ever heard of the book The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz? I first heard of this book because of the celebrity, it's a celebrity chef, Emeril Lagasse. I don't know if you've heard of him. Apparently, he read it when he was still the executive chef at Commander's Palace in New Orleans in the mid-'80s. It was one of the pinnacle positions for those in the culinary career path. I think it might still be, actually. It's quite a lot of prestige to be the executive chef at Commander's Palace. And Lagasse said that the book challenged him to think bigger. He asked himself, what more can I do with my career and my life? And in case you're not a foodie like me and you don't follow things like the Food Network channel and that sort of thing, let me tell you what Lagasse did after he read this book, The Magic of Thinking Big. He started his first restaurant in 1990, and since then he has opened an empire of restaurants. He has 13 restaurants. He's written 18 best-selling cookbooks, hosted more than 2,000 shows on the Food Network, and he started a foundation supporting children's educational programs. He's also won numerous awards, including in 2013 being named the Humanitarian of the Year by James Beard Foundation. Talk about thinking and growing big. Now, the author, Dr. Schwartz, was a professor at Georgia State University in Atlanta, and he wrote this book nearly 50 years ago. But its principles are really timeless. He says in the book something that really impressed me. He says, stretch your vision, see what can be, not just what is. So to imagine what the outer limits of your potential is, you need to stretch your vision. And my big stretch vision is that there'll be a time, one day, here I am, I'm going to put it out there, there'll be a one time when I'm writing best-selling self-development books and speaking internationally. And, you know, I want to be a philanthropist one day, too, just like Emeril Lagasse. Now, that's huge for me because I'm naturally an introvert, and I come from a real humble background, and I'm prone to having self-talk that says stuff like, you're a nobody. How dare you think that big? Really, you're only capable of thinking and being small. But, you know, history is filled with examples of others who have come from a nobody place to make a great big difference in the world. They chose to have big visions. And so can I, and so can you. All right, so the next step after you stretch your vision, and as Wallace Waddle says in one of his other books, The Science of Being Great, form the highest concept of yourself, is to do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Make a plan to do what you can right now. Set goals and then start walking the path you've laid out as best you can with the tools you have right now. For example, when I started to ramp up my writing output in 2006, I launched a blog. And it was all a big experiment. At least it was in my mind at that time. I just wanted to see how it felt to put my writing out there. And really, all I was looking for in the beginning was an outlet for more creative expression since I'd stuffed mine down for so long. I mean, a few years earlier, I had read and done the exercises in Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way. And I had recovered this creative side of myself that I had put away since college. And so in addition to writing for myself, I really wanted to try it out and write for public consumption. So the blog was that first step. And after that, I took a bigger step and then a bigger step. And this writing thing has developed into really larger possibilities, being a spotlight writer for Om Times Magazine, for instance. And in fact, the vision of what I'm doing with this ability is turning out to be so much bigger than when I first thought it was. I mean, speaking to audiences and facilitating workshops, that's come into the picture too. Some of my inner shy person inside here finds it amazing whenever I stop to think about it, and like doing radio, this radio show, for instance. Now, in 2008, I dared I took the daring plunge, and I published a book about job search, and then after that I did another one. These were safe steps. They were very useful, too, to put out there to the public. The information I was offering helped hundreds and hundreds of people during the recession, and writing these books along with giving all those public presentations I did during that time, it helped me to build confidence about where my writing and my speaking might go. So I was able to imagine bigger possibilities. And I'm still imagining bigger possibilities, especially since my UK colleague, Tom Cassidy, and I have discussed the possibility of my traveling to England to do some speaking with him there. No plans yet, but we are hoping to do that. Now, this is not all because I have this desire for fame, and, you know, that's not why I want to go bigger. It's because I've begun to realize that it's part of my mission to reach more people than I really could do sitting across a table from them just discussing these concepts in like a one-on-one basis, in a one-on-one conversation. So I look at it and I say I wasn't given this deep desire, or rather this deep need, to write and express these concepts in this way so that I could keep a journal just for myself. I mean, my deal with the universe, I guess, is that I get to use this gift for something bigger than merely satisfying myself. I get to pass along what I've been learning. And in early 2014, I published my third book, which I've just mentioned before, The Day You Find Out Why, and it's not about job search, so I've broadened the scope and getting more confidence. So, you know, you set your goals, you make your plan, and then you follow your plan. Easy, right? Well, maybe it's not so easy, because you're bound to hit a few snags along the way, some roadblocks, some detours, some fears, some self-talk, and other miscellaneous whatever that will tempt you to stay small. I know I did, and sometimes still do, all the time. Let's see, health challenges and recovering from surgery put off finishing and publishing my book, The Day You Find Out Why. I had to put that off for almost a whole year. Being distracted by dealing with my unexpected divorce took up most of the middle and later part of 2014. And though the circumstances tested and allowed me to unleash the potential in a few personal categories for myself and step into my personal power in new ways, it delayed the launch of a new business line that I've been working on for the past couple of years. So, again, we have these detours, right? So one more thing before we talk about some specific strategies for overcoming roadblocks and staying focused. I want to bring this up to you and make sure that you understand this is really important. There's something you might not have realized that you're up against, that we're all up against, in our efforts to think big and unleash our potential. And that's your own brain. To make a change and make it stick, you have to rewire your brain. Science says that we have to. It takes concentrated, conscious effort as well as time involved too, to do it. In 2013, I went to a live conference and I was really dazzled by this lecture that Joe Dispenza gave, Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he talked about the science behind changing your mind. He's an expert in the field of neuroscience. And through his books and lectures, he teaches what happens to our brains and our physiological body chemistry when we try to change our behavior. Now, bear with me. I'm going to geek out a little bit here, but it's important to know why it takes so much effort to make changes. And again, we're all on a level playing field. We all have to go through this. We all have a brain that's wired a certain way. And if you want to know more details about this, I would recommend you go look at Dr. Dispenza's TED Talk. He talks about the three areas of the brain and how each part is engaged in the work of changing who you are and how you think. It is fascinating. So did you know that your brain is wired in a certain way because of what you've been thinking habitually over and over again? The neurons in your brain are connected in clusters called the neural net. And then when you try to make an effort to change your thinking and your behavior, after thinking the new thoughts and trying the new behaviors habitually over a span of time, the neurons will disconnect from their current pathways and then reconnect to new pathways. Your neural net changes physically. Your brain physically changes. Dr. Spencer calls this rewiring and refiring your brain. So to reach your potential, you need to change your brain through conscious and habitual effort. Okay, so that leads in nicely to what I really want to talk about next, and that you can reach your potential, and this is how. Now, the first thing I would suggest you do is to be assured, to just take some time to identify the limiting thoughts or challenges that are going through your head. Those old thoughts, right? You need to identify them. So the first step to changing anything is to be aware of what it is that you want to change. And this is straight from my book. It's a simple tool that I developed called the 3 R's. I've used it successfully on myself as well as with my clients. It's a 3-part process in which you first reflect on the limiting beliefs that you've been holding, that's been holding you back. Then you actively release them by taking physical action. And finally, you gain a new perspective by reframing your experiences and finding the meaning in them. And some of my clients have been using this exercise periodically while trying to make long-term changes in their lives. And whenever you have internal resistance, you can use the 3 R's to remove the roadblock and get back on track. And so what I'll do is provide you a link so you can go and read about it and use that exercise yourself. Now, the next thing you want to do after reframing your limiting thinking is to reinforce it habitually, just like Dr. Dispenza points out. You need to rewire your brain. So when the old thought pops up, you need to ask yourself, is this what you would choose to believe? What is a more helpful thought? And use that one instead. Once you've cleared out the limiting beliefs and the fears, whatever's holding you back, you need to do things to reinforce your vision. And some people suggest making vision boards or pages. My colleague Tom Cassidy, he recommends making vision movies. I think the 100-year birthday party is a really great one to do, and I'll also provide a link so you can understand how to do that exercise. It's a lot of fun. I like doing all of these. I think all of them work. And I think what I would say, though, the main strategy to keep in mind is, and this really works well for me, is to look at who's doing what you aspire to do. You know, Emeril Lagasse is a celebrity chef, and I don't want to be a celebrity chef. I find his story inspiring. But before I started on this path, I have to admit the mindset that I had was that I could never make money as an author and speaker, so give up that idea. But it's not true. There are a lot of people doing what I want to do. A lot. I have their books. I have their videos in my personal library. So look at what others have done before you, and that will inspire you. Like Isaac Newton said, if I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulder of giants. Now, what are those giants for you? Wow. Oh, my gosh. The time has flown. That is all we have time for today, and I'm going to go ahead and put some links for you so you can see some of these exercises and use them for yourself, because I really want you to unleash your potential. Now, join me next time on January 10. I'm calling the show A Kick in the Teeth. It's from a quote by Walt Disney. We'll talk about lessons learned from adversity, and Walt Disney knew a bunch about diversity. Thanks again for tuning into this program. I want to thank Doom Dance and Kevin MacLeod for our music today. And be sure to check out the links on the webpage for these musicians, as well as to see other resources about today's topic. If you're interested in my book, course, and other programs, you can check me out and all my links at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. You can send me an email through the site if you'd like as well. And please join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. In the meantime, be well and shine on.